Congressman Tim Walberg. How are you, Congressman?
Well, I think hardline technology will work a little better, right?
Don't they know who you are? We better not be having any more phone issues. Are you going to see U2?
Am I going to see U2?
Yeah.
I don't know my schedule for the rest of the day, let alone that. But I doubt it. I doubt it. Well, we've got a full pack schedule coming back to the district this next week.
Yeah, I wanted to get your take on an interesting item, and I don't know how much you know about it, but Ingham and Oakland counties are suing a couple of institutions which are subsidized from government funding, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're accused of tax dodging. Have you heard about that story?
I have not heard about that story. No, from the local level.
Well, apparently,
to know more about it.
Well, apparently, they're not paying their taxes. I know that really doesn't fall under your jurisdiction, aside from the fact that they always seem to be in financial disarray, and tax dollars are what supports them.
We've got several bills dealing with Fannie Freddie, and one of which will set up an entirely different operation away from Fannie Freddie, pulling it away, putting them into a full private sector mode and not government supported. And I think these type of things, to understand it, will add to the impetus to do that very thing.
Oh, really? That's very interesting, Congressman. I'll elaborate as much as you can.
We've got a bill that's sitting in committee as we speak that, frankly, a number of banking institutions aren't all that supportive of because they feel that there is a place to have a government-supported entity to carry on mortgages, to back up those mortgages, and they feel that without that you won't see a 30-year mortgage anymore. That's a question. Whether that's the case or not, our concern, though, is that that Fannie and Freddie have really have been a major part of the problem of the bursting of the bubble for real estate, and frankly, the free market system generally works well when it has realistic regulation that goes with it, making sure that it's not doing the wrong things. And yet, when it has skin in the game and it answers to itself, its stockholders, for making a profit, in turn, it does things to make sure that it remains viable. So Representative Jeb Hensarling introduced H.R. 1182, the GSE Bailout Elimination and Taxpayer Protection Act. It has been sitting in committee for some time. Remains to be seen whether the committee chairman will take it up. I've co-sponsored that bill. Within 5 years, Fannie and Freddie would be privatized under this proposal. So we'll wait and see. A competing bill comes from John Campbell and Gary Peters of Michigan, which does some further regulation, but establishes what they call the Freddie and Fannie Banking Act, H.R. 1859. So you got two competing pieces of legislation. One would establish and continue Fannie and Freddie through various means, but make sure it still remains a public entity as opposed to a private entity versus the one that ratchets this down, Fannie and Freddie, into a private entity altogether.
What do you think about gas reserves being made available for sale, thus being made available to the public?
I tell you what, this is a total political plan. It will not have a significant impact, certainly any long-term impact. You'll see the Middle East respond to it by doing what's necessary to keep prices up, as opposed to what we ought to be doing, and that's expanding the usage of our own resources and not drawing down strategic reserve resources that are for much more important purposes than just trying to politically protect yourself against high gas prices. How often will he do this, the president? He does it yesterday. Will he have to do it again in 6 weeks in order to keep at least whole prices? Or will he do what's right and respond to legislation that's been passed in the House and sent to the Senate that will open up offshore drilling in both the Gulf and off the coast of Virginia that will enable us to go and begin to explore and use resources in Anwar in Alaska and use the burgeoning resources we're finding out to the northwest, both for natural gas and oil. My contention is that's what we ought to be doing, and I think it would have fairly immediate effect if we lifted those permitoriums, as they're called, as well as the moratoriums on drilling.
Congressman, wanted to get your take on the president's plan for Afghanistan.
Well, we don't know what it is. So, you know, it's kind of hard to determine thoughts on it because the president will not respond to Congress. We've asked him. We've given him most recently a fairly moderate proposal. In 14 days, he had to report under the War Powers Act, as I think it's been determined by the Supreme Court, as well as leadership here in the House and Senate, the People's House especially, that's responsible for authorizing a war.
Now, you're talking about Libya, right?
Libya, right.
Right, okay.
And that's what you said, Libya, right?
No, Afghanistan.
Well, Afghanistan?
Well, no, finish your comment about Libya, and then we can talk about Afghanistan.
Well, Libya, today, there are going to be two votes on Libya. One that will be fairly strong, Tom Rooney from Florida, brother of my former primary opponent, Brian Rooney. Tom is a military, I think he's still in reserves as well. He certainly supporting the troops, but we can't continue authorizing any type of Libyan defensive or offensive without the president coming to explaining why we're there and what the way forward is all about. So I believe we will pass in the House today the withdrawal of any funds to be used for continuing the implementation of a war effort in Libya, except for funds needed to rescue or do reconnaissance for our own protection, our own purposes. So we'll see what happens. It comes loggerheads here, and I think the president is without standing, both constitutionally and under the War Powers Act, in doing what he's doing. On Afghanistan, it remains to be seen. The president has to his credit capture and killing of Osama bin Laden. That was the clear number one objective in going in Afghanistan originally 10 years ago. That has been completed. I think some good effort has been undertaken, and most recently the surge, which was limited from what the generals on the ground in Afghanistan wanted, including General Petraeus, General McChrystal at the time, who asked for 80,000 troops, then said we would take 40,000, but we think we need more, and we ended up receiving 30,000. It has had some impact. We want to make sure that the blood, the energy, the resources shed and expended for this purpose are not lost. Frankly, from what we're hearing, the generals on the ground would prefer continuing the surge, not telegraphing to our enemies date certain, drawdown time certain, and troop strength certain, and allowing them to set back in their caves and say, we can weather this, we can last it out 2 years. We can certainly wait till 2014 when the ultimate drawdown takes place, and then carry on our efforts. And that's my main concern, Tony, is that this president seems to want to do things totally backwards from what I know of military strategy and what generals have informed me about their druthers and how you handle and prosecute a war, and that's not tell your enemy what you're doing.
We've got a couple more questions for Congressman Tim Walberg before we go to Carol Kane. Wanted to get your take on your demand for a response from the Health and Human Services Secretary. You want some more information about the waivers to President Barack Obama's health care law. A lot of lawsuits in full effect on this. It's been thought that this is going to end up in the Supreme Court. Have you gotten the information you've asked for?
No, we haven't. I initiated a letter to Secretary Sebelius back in May, first part of May, I think it was May 2nd. Subsequently, I signed on to a similar letter from a group of 30-some colleagues led by the Kansas delegation, thinking that they might have some relationship with Secretary Sebelius. And to this date, we have not received a response from her. The only thing that we've seen is that the president now, in the last week and a half, has indicated no more waivers will be offered. I think that's political heat that has been generated because, frankly, it appears to be some very significant political involvement in who gets waivers and who doesn't. Most recently, 80% of the most recent waivers went to Nancy Pelosi's district. That's a great concern. Harry Reid in the state has a huge number of the waivers that have been initiated. My point in the press conference the other day we had where we went public and we're calling for the secretary to respond to our letters to explain how, why, what the process is, what the application consists of, what the determinations are, and how they are made, and who actually has requested, who has received waivers from the mandated Medicare medical requirements on businesses. I pointed out that just prior to me sending that letter, I had been in McDonald's in my district, a specific store, on the day that they were at a nationwide hiring goal of 26,000 employees. They achieved that. And that was better than half of the increases in jobs in the last jobs report a week and a half ago. Now, that says to me, at the very least, that a company that has the ability to have a waiver from the Obamacare mandates is a company that can hire employees. Companies that don't have those waivers and the uncertainty that goes with it, including another large restaurant chain that last week was here in Washington, explained to me without a waiver and with requirement to go to the government plan, it would cost them up to 50% of their annual profits to just cover the mandated proposals that the government would put on them on health care. So, Tony, that's a concern to us because it impacts jobs, and jobs is the number one issue that we have to get a hold of here in this great United States.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. We'll talk with you soon. Enjoy your day and your weekend.
Look forward to it.